for something completely different. Welcome to Ask an Atheist. We are a live call-in show. We are an educational program dedicated to atheism, skeptical inquiry, and the separation of church and state. I am Mike Gillis, and with me in the co-pilot chair is Libby Mistretta. And I guess the first thing you're wondering is, what the hell is this? Why is there an atheist show on my TV right now? And, you know, what is an atheist? Let's talk about that really quickly.
Well, it's pretty simple, really. An atheist is someone who doesn't believe in God.
And that's what it sounded like 100 hours ago.
100 episodes ago?
100 hours of Ask an Atheist programming. Indeed, you're listening to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And it's not Mike Gillis and Libby Mistretta alone. It's actually Sam Mulvey, Rebecca Friedman, and Mike Gillis. How you guys doing today?
I'm doing great.
I'm doing just fine.
It is beautiful today in Tacoma.
Yeah, much like the weather was, say, 2 years ago. Was it 2010 we got this underway?
2010 June.
Yeah.
Man, that feels like a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. I try to make fewer mouth noises on the air than I did back then in their public access days.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's nice that the microphones are near us rather than 20 feet away now.
Like that
it sounded
help.
In that room.
No, we've come a long way. We've come from being on public access television to commercial radio. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, okay, you may have been listening the last couple of weeks, but we've done 100 hours. This is our 100th episode of Ask an Atheist. So 100 hour long episodes. We don't know why anybody would listen to us for nearly that long, but I guess the fact that it's once a week makes it a little easier, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a chaser with whatever else you watch during the week. Helps you come down from this a bit.
I never thought we would, you know what? You hope that you get here. You hope that you do this, but to actually make 100 episodes, to produce 100 hours of programming, I'm a little shocked.
I'm a little shocked that we've been as successful as we have on commercial radio.
Yeah.
That when SCAN Public Access, that's a Seattle cable access network, the public access network that we were on for the first 6 months of our life, it completely collapsed. I can be honest in saying that I didn't think we were going to survive.
Right.
I didn't think that we were going to survive on public commercial radio. I didn't think that we'd find enough supporters and advertisers to keep this thing afloat.
But we have survived and thrived.
Yeah, we've survived and thrived in part because of those supporters, which we should talk about. There's Peggy's Challenge, which has been an ongoing support effort for Ask an Atheist. And as usual, we've got some folks. We've got Brian from London, John from Sterling Heights, Michigan, Frank from San Diego, and Randall from Cambie, Indiana. Thank you all, and thank you if you've supported before and if you've continued supporting us throughout the last 8 seasons of Ask an Atheist. It's been wonderful, and thanks for, you know, we're doing really well. We're well on our way towards being able to support another season of the show. So, and we've got a big future going on. So,
and if you want to be a part of helping us stay on the air, keep the lights on with us, go to our website, www.askanatheist.tv. Hit the big red, it's a smaller yellow but somewhat less candy-like button that's on the left side of the screen. Click it, and if you got a couple bucks that you can spare for this sort of programming,
if you enjoy this sort of program,
yeah, we don't have the phones ringing in the background,
no,
but
yeah.
We get the full effect, but we are essentially doing the same thing. We're begging for cash.
We could also have the phones ringing in the bathroom,
we could have the phones ringing in the bathroom.
In the background, if you wanted to call us and ask us a question, too, we take your calls.
Yeah, 253-584-1480. And one of the reasons why I think we did well is because we do have sort of an interesting atheist-related take on the news.
Yeah, there isn't a lot of that. That's one of the reasons that we started this show in the first place, is that in my experience, I get frustrated a lot watching the news, watching television, which is that even when the topic of atheism comes up, often we're completely excluded.
Yeah, yeah.
The best example was a couple of years ago, there was a panel discussion on CNN.
Oh, this was the event that turned me into an activist. So
yeah,
you bring that up.
I think it was Paula Zahn was the host.
Yeah.
And she wanted to talk about this burgeoning new atheist movement that was going on in the country. These books by people like Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, Christopher Hitchens were coming out. People were starting to organize. Atheist groups were growing. So who are they going to bring on to talk about this?
A conservative rabbi, two fundamentalist preachers, and an imam.
Yeah, so when...
What's missing from one of these things is not like the other. Yeah,
it was pretty sad because you had these people who came on who... You want to talk about a topic. Let's say we want to talk about Christianity. Let's bring on everybody but a Christian. That would be... Nobody would even think to put that panel together. But in this case, you want to talk about atheism with no atheists. And yeah. Most of the panel was basically them saying these atheists need to shut up and go away.
Yeah, it was a dog pile.
And the saddest part was that the nicest guy in the group was another Christian who says, well, we shouldn't tell them to shut up and go away, but still we own this country and we deserve school prayer.
One of the best culminations of news in atheism that we've had in the last 2 years was the countdown to backpedaling last year, where we count down to the day after Harold Camping's prophecy that the world was going to end on May 20th or something like that.
21st,
yes. But doomsday never ends. It's always the end times. And in that respect, we have some news. And newly discovered Mayan calendar further disproves doomsday myth. This comes to us from Andrew Counts of Digital Trends. The world is not going to end on December 21st. No, not even according to the Mayan calendar. First glimpsed by an undergraduate student of archaeologist William Saturno in 2010, a new Mayan calendar was found buried at a well-known Mayan archaeology site in Guatemala. It is what?
Mayan. It Mayan. Is of the Mayan
okay,
people.
Okay, whatever. All right, I'll do it. Found buried at a well-known Mayan archaeology site in Guatemala. It is the oldest known Mayan calendar to date. And just like the Maya Long Count calendar, which serves as the basis for the apocalypse myth, this calendar extends indefinitely into the future. Saturno describes the details of the find in this week's issue of the journal Science. So, yeah.
I'm not surprised. I don't think anyone in this room thought that the world was actually going to end on December 21st.
No.
The second question, and I think we all know the answer to this already, is this going to change anyone's mind who's set on believing that?
Of course not.
I don't know. I teach high school, and so I have a lot of adolescents that are very keen on conspiracy theories and things that are going to end and terrible, disastrous things that are going to happen. And I happen to teach Spanish, and when we look at the...
You happen to teach Spanish, and you live with a Midwesterner.
I do. And when my students are looking at different calendar forms, some of them say, oh, I want to look at the Mayan calendar because that's the one that says the world's going to blow up and have fires and volcanoes and the caldera, the Yellowstone caldera super volcano is going to explode and we're all going to die. And no kids. No, we're not. No, it's not going to explode.
And we were just talking about that movie 2012 on the way here about how... It doesn't even work as a doomsday movie.
No, it's just what I've heard a lot of people refer to as destruction porn.
Right.
Where this is Roland Emmerich, the guy who directed this, same guy who did Independence Day, does a lot of movies where
the day after tomorrow.
The day after tomorrow. Yeah. He's just ramping it up with each successive movie where he just has to destroy that much more of the planet.
Right.
To this point, he's just destroying it, breaking it. The entire city of Los Angeles is cracking like an egg and breaking in on itself.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of and then there's Time Wave Zero, which everybody's into. It's a new age phenomenon. And there's George Norrie. There's a lot of people who've been investing in 2012 mania since, I don't know, 1982. I mean, for the last 20 years. So
we heard last week or a week or two ago about one of the mountains in sort of the Pyrenean mountain range where people are gathering. 20,000 new agers are gathering for some magical happening that's apparently going to occur on December 21st of this year. I have no idea how the Pyrenean mountain range interacts with Mayan calendars, but somehow it does.
I remember a Worldcon suite party back in 2000 when it was WindyCon in Chicago about having the 2012 World Science Fiction Convention in Chichen Itza. Then the aliens would come and we'd have a big science fiction convention with actual aliens. I thought that was clever. So, I mean, there are fun opportunities here.
Yeah, the group in France, the same group hanging around the edges of the mountain, that's the one that I find both most amusing and potentially terrifying.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, this sounds like another one of those great disappointment, like in 1848, where all these people thought that Jesus was going to return, the Millerites and all those different groups.
Right.
So you have that sort of thing, and a number of those groups still held on to that mythology. But then you also have Heaven's Gate, on the other hand, which was in the late 90s, where this group of UFO people believed that there was going to be a UFO following the Hale-Bopp comet, and they were going to kill themselves, which is apparently how you board the UFO.
Sure.
I guess they hadn't thought of a landing pad or maybe
souls
even the beaming technology.
Souls compact better. Souls need slightly less living space, given that they don't exist. Hey!
Yeah, the high technology, they still haven't figured an entry hatch.
Right.
So they believed, and actually that group involved the brother of Nichelle Nichols, who plays Lieutenant Uhura on Star Trek.
Oh, I wish I didn't know that. That
and
sucks.
Yeah, so now every time you watch Star Trek, you think of Hale-Bopp.
Yeah.
Which is the comet, which is now infamous for the cult mass suicide.
Don't tell me what to think. I'm going to try very hard not to think about that. So this is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Another thing that I think we've had a lot of fun with Ask an Atheist is interaction with the listeners and with you guys, with everybody. And in that vein, we have a really interesting voicemail that I'd like to play for you. We got it just this morning. I think you guys are going to love it.
Howdy, folks. My name is Bill. I'm calling from Michigan, and I thought you'd be interested in a strange trend over in YouTube country. Recently, YouTube has been flooded with all kinds of videos made by fundamentalist preachers, and they're mainly about space aliens and UFOs. Now, get this. According to the videos, space aliens are really demons who came to mate with human females in order to, now I'm quoting them now, quoting one of their preachers, to contaminate our DNA, quote unquote.
Contaminate our DNA?
Precious bodily fluids. But it goes on.
They've latched onto this very obscure biblical verse in Genesis. Genesis 6, verse 4. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, these same became mighty men of old, which were men of renown. And they've taken, now that's quote, end quote, and they've taken this one verse and stretched it out to mean that, and I kid you not, these mighty men of old were really demonic space aliens who had sex with mortal women. And by extrapolation, these commentators have said that this sort of thing has gone on through the centuries, and that, for example, Goliath, you know, from David and Goliath's story, was a half-breed alien. And they've latched onto a very obscure term, Nephilim, which is translated giants in that passage, and made it out that these Nephilim are, you know, going around, you know, even today, and breeding with human females. What nonsense, you know. And the fundies are calling it ways to contaminate our seed. Give me a break. Can you imagine the kind of damage this sort of thinking can do to people? I wanted to let you know about this to show, I mean, in a way, I'm really heartsick to see, you know, the religions of my past, the old-time religions, you know, the old fundamentalist religions are coming so out of touch with reality that they're actually turning to space aliens to back up their case. And, that, you know, it's just pathetic. And you can see these. All you have to do is go to YouTube, type in aliens are demons, and you'll see all kinds of videos. And there's one very disturbing trend. I have noticed that some of these commentators, at least two, were also anti-vaxxers. So we have a very deadly combination of anti-vaxxers and also who also believe in space aliens.
So yeah, that's a pretty interesting one, I would say.
I wish I could say that was the first time I'd ever heard that theory before.
No, and you know, I definitely appreciate the heartsick, the fact that the religions that he's familiar with, that he grew up with, are turning to weirder and weirder things. I mean, this is straight up God of the Gaps. We have a pretty good understanding of what happens on Earth from their perspective, so there's nowhere left to go but space. So we'll find the angels when we go to space.
I think it's also a way to latch on to sort of popular mythology and increase your numbers. If, oh, I got to branch out from my own Bible, well, there's other people that are easily persuaded, and they believe in aliens. I'll just incorporate their alien mythology into my biblical mythology, and thereby up my numbers.
And we're back to Star Trek. But there are religions that do that. This is a centerpiece of what they do, aren't there?
Well, Scientology has a bit of this.
Right.
The Nation of Islam, which is like Mormonism, is kind of a weird American racist branch of another older religion.
Right.
They have a lot of UFO stuff that pops into their stuff. I mean, it's pretty standard, but I've noticed this seems to be kind of a Southern Protestant thing where there's this immediate assumption that the supernatural claims of every single religion are true, but the ones that aren't yours are just another form of demons. And it seems like they take on some of the pop cultural and sort of secular mythologies like alien abduction and sort of pull it into their... And that's kind of David Icke does sort of the reverse, where all these ancient religions are true, but his conspiracies involve, instead of them really being gods, they're just aliens. And just like this whole Nephilim nonsense, he's talking about people of renown secretly being half-breed aliens.
Right. And then there's this thing where... you know, the anti-atheist movement in Christianity, they come to you and they go, well, you don't believe in God. And for some reason, I don't know where this comes from, but they all assume that we believe that aliens exist. It's a very interesting one, and this might be a synthesis of those two things.
Well, for me, I wouldn't say absolutely I believe that aliens exist. I think that the universe is vast, and clearly it's possible for life to exist, you know,
right.
Us being Exhibit A.
Yeah.
So given the size of the universe, I think it's almost inevitable that life either exists somewhere else in some form, not necessarily a sentient form,
yeah.
But or has existed or will exist at some point in the future.
I think there's an invalid comparison here where they say, well, you don't believe in God, but you believe that aliens might exist. And they suggest that God and aliens are equally likely. We're an omnipotent, omnipresent, omni-happy, you know,
benevolent.
An omnibenevolent God is just as easy to believe as another group of aliens somewhere else in this enormous universe.
Because technically we're aliens. I mean, if you really look at this, we are life in the universe. So, and I think of this, I'm not saying like, oh, we haven't found aliens yet. Well, technically, I'm going to put this under the category of life in the universe. Right. We are an example of that. It's not unlikely that there's another example of that. With gods, we don't have that first example and to base it on.
To further back that up, we've discovered not a whole lot of evidence to suggest that Earth has some favored space in the universe, that it's somehow special.
Yeah, this is a big part of the people who throw out design theory. I won't even say it's a hypothesis, but that so much of life seems to be geared towards us, it really misses the point that we're actually geared for our environment, because if we weren't, we'd all be dead.
Right.
So we are built to exist in our world rather than that world is built to sustain us.
Yeah, the anthropic principle is what you're describing, or the anti-anthropic principle.
As if we're somehow this chosen goal, and that's not the case. We're just something that exists in this world and developed the way it is because the world and those environmental pressures shaped us.
And then the voicemail ends on sort of an Art Bell note, the way you like to describe the Art Bell show, or the George Norrie show now, which is a bunch of conspiracy theories colliding together on a show, all desperately hoping to exist in the same universe, a la The Watchmen.
Now, are you referring to the fact that some of these preachers that think that believe in aliens are also anti-vaxxers?
Exactly.
Against vaccination of your children?
Right.
To me, that sort of seemed to fit into his obsession with contamination of our seed or
not
our bloodlines or something like that.
What he's describing.
But it's a big part of it is that once you believe that there are secret demon people that are in high parts of governments around the world, it's easy to believe that anything is just a conspiracy by those people
right.
to go after good Christians. But what I find kind of funny about this whole Nephilim thing, this idea of demonic space aliens breeding with humans to create monsters,
right.
isn't this exactly the plot of the H.P. Lovecraft story, The Dunwich Horror?
Yes, it is, actually. It's completely the Dunwich Horror.
So, yeah, at some point, these Nephilim are going to break into the library and get eaten by a dog, and you're going to, oh my God, he's got tentacles on his stomach.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to do some more news and start answering some emails.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com. Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Looking to sell or buy a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, and surrounding areas? Plant your roots and invest in this entrepreneur-friendly area with world-class education and healthcare. Demand a professional and call Dawn Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 and let him work with you to achieve your goals, save your time, and protect your investment. Contact Dawn Summers of Professional Realty Group at dndrealty.ca. It's time you hired a professional.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and you are listening to the 100th episode of said show. And we're going to go to another news article, and this one, while we like to focus on some of the real egregious errors that religion creates, this one is a little bit more insidious, but doesn't seem so bad on its face. And this is a Beaverton church who is suing a family after they criticize said church online. This comes from KATU in Oregon. And Julianne Smith used to attend Beaverton Grace Bible Church in Oregon. After she and her family began to ask the pastor tough questions, other church members began to shun her. It was as if the pastor told them all to avoid them. If I went to Costco or any place in town, if I ran into somebody, they would turn their heads and walk the other way, Smith said. All we did was ask questions. We just raised concerns. There's no sin in that. The Smiths left the church, and Julianne began to leave the church one-star reviews online. She started a blog called Beaverton Grace Bible Church Survivors, detailing her experiences there. She used words to describe the church like creepy, cult, control tactics, and spiritual abuse. Now the church is suing them for $500,000 for defamation. The Smiths filed a special free speech motion to dismiss the lawsuit. It goes before a judge later this month. This is pretty crazy.
This is more than just a little crazy. This is, one, there's an irony behind it.
Right.
That she goes on the internet. She's obviously talking about her experiences at this place and wants to prevent other people from going through the same kind of creepy, controlling sort of atmosphere where people are not allowed to criticize or ask questions.
Yeah.
And ironically, they don't seem to notice this, but I notice that people like this who run churches like this seem to not have the irony gene firing.
Right.
Is actually proving her charges right on every single front by trying to use the legal system to force silence.
Right. We mentioned Scientology earlier. This is something that Scientology would do. And this is court documented. This was under legal seal and everything, where Scientology will use lawsuits to punish. They have no intention of winning. But they'll use them because just having to fight a lawsuit is so resource intensive and so time intensive that it hurts your opponent.
The whole goal is to completely destroy somebody financially, even though you know you can't win the lawsuit.
Right.
They're throwing out a frivolous lawsuit here. They just want to scare them at the very least. Sometimes they think that the fear of that lawsuit's enough to make them just drop it.
That's the other side of cult phenomenon, is maybe they don't realize how frivolous this is. That this is somebody who is violating everything they stand for from their perspective. They are breaking from the power structure that has them basically all under control. If this really is as cult-like as it looks, they might not realize that this is not legal. This is not right. You can't just go after somebody because they say something bad about your church. There's a reason we have a First Amendment.
So is it just a symptom of this Christian nation mentality that so many of them had, that so many of these people seem to think that there's this stamp of Christian ownership on everything in the United States, and they have a tendency to just think that the court will take their side on something like this, because it's like, this is just egregious, you're defaming me, and because I'm a pastor, I'm clearly beyond any kind of reproach.
I don't think it's that at all. I think there may be churches where that may be the case, but the way this is being described, and it's not just the lawsuit, it's the shunning and the lawsuit. It's the combination of those two things, which tells me that this isn't just Christian privilege, this is actually cult phenomenon we're seeing here.
It reminds me a little bit, this is on a much bigger scale, of course, to something I've seen the Vatican do in Italy a number of times, when somebody gets up and behind a microphone and criticizes the Pope or criticizes the Church.
Yeah.
That for all their talk about being a sovereign, separate nation, they still try to use the Italian legal system to sue their opponents into silence.
Right.
And this seems a bit like that, too, as they know that they're going, that the internal process, that they have every right to make whatever rules that they want for their church, but they don't have the right to expand those rules beyond the boundaries of that church.
This brings me into an interesting thought, which I'm really just having now, which is when we're talking about destructive group phenomenon, which is what you're supposed to call cult phenomenon now, but nobody knows what destructive group means. What if we were to posit that while Catholicism itself is not a cult, the clergy is? That it's a cult within a religion?
It's you could say that it's a cult, but it's a cult where the leadership has a very loose, if tenuous, grasp on the actual people at the ground level.
Right.
I think that saying that the clergy itself is a cult, you have sort of the people that are in their training, in their seminary training, you have the actual parish priests, then you have the bishops and the archbishops, and that whole hierarchy system could be very, you know, cult-like and abusive towards its sort of lower down folks.
And if we're going to the historical and political antecedents of the Catholic Church, which is the Roman Empire, the power structure of Rome had a lot of cult membership, and it wasn't considered bad at all. This is sort of what maybe the Vatican inherited.
I think there's a bit of that. I think you're touching on something very true there, Sam, where if you look at how leadership works in the Catholic Church, it's not a system where the Archbishop of, say, Seattle, Peter Sarton, he is not a Seattleite. He's not somebody who is representative of Catholics in Seattle. He's installed from far away, much in the Roman sense, by the boss in the Vatican.
Right.
Because it's about having a leadership there that is more representative of the leadership in Rome than the flock in Seattle.
I don't know that the Catholic Church ever pretended to be representative of its people. It's not as if it's a democracy, and it's not as if that this person is a representative of us. I mean, constituents, you know, be damned, basically.
I suppose. But it is somebody coming in from the Vatican mothership. Now, if you're a Catholic or you know a Catholic, I am just coming up with this now, and I'd like to hear what people's opinions on this were. I'm not pretending. I just had this thought. Please go to AskAnAtheist.tv or give us a call at 253-584-1480 and, you know, let me know what you think. Am I actually onto something here? But bringing it back to the story, I think Christian privilege definitely plays a part of it, especially when we're talking about more rural places, but I think there's cult here. I think there's a destructive group here. I really think this is that's a piece of the puzzle.
I think so. I think it's a group of people that have a very hardline social level of control over their members, and now that they no longer have that sort of social control, the shunning didn't work. It in fact drove them out of the group.
Right.
They're still wanting to enforce these sorts of rules on people, and since they can't actually punish them outside of their own church, they're trying to use the legal system to do it.
Yeah. What they can't, they're exactly right, is that they feel that this is somebody who has left the flock who must be punished for leaving the flock, and they're using any means available to do it. I want to see how this turns out. They're going in front of a judge later this month. I will follow this story. So we've got an email. This comes to us from Thomas in Bainbridge Island. First and foremost, you guys and gals are great all around. If it wasn't for Ask an Atheist, I wouldn't have attended the Seattle Atheist event like the party of May 22nd last year for Harold Camping, or your more recent comedy fundraiser. You guys have also made me more open about talking to people about things I agree and disagree with. Last night I danced with a girl who was enrolled at a religious institution which teaches intelligent design. Mid-dance didn't seem like the best place to challenge someone's view, but it was nice to engage civilly on the subject. There's nothing new in the subject, by the way. Keep doing what you do, and I hope to see you going past the next apocalypse into episode 200.
Hey, keep dancing, Thomas, and keep talking.
By all means.
I'm actually happy. This is a goal that I want to accomplish with the show. My goal is not... I don't don't know if this counts for you too, Sam. You can pipe in after I'm done.
Sure.
My goal is not to turn a Christian into an atheist, a Muslim into an atheist, a Scientologist into an atheist. My goal is to find someone who already is an atheist and make them feel a bit more comfortable about that. Take the shame away, make them feel like they're not alone, and make them feel like it's safer for them to be open about it, which in fact makes other people safer to come out about it.
That's all. Yeah, it's for me, it's about making atheism a part of the dialogue in the United States, and making us not necessarily friendly. I don't want to turn atheism into a teddy bear that can be safely ignored, but I want people to be less terrified of us, so that they will actually engage us in a way that doesn't actually harm anyone.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, they see the A word and they immediately put this force field up,
right?
And then it becomes impossible to engage, because then they just kind of throw stuff out Catholic catechism style, where they just throw this pre-produced stuff because they're afraid of your ideas getting in. Whereas if we can get rid of that boogeyman phenomenon and we can just engage people, a lot of these stereotypes will just dry up.
Well, thanks, Thomas. And you might notice some of these emails are a bit congratulatory. Hey, it's our 100th episode. Let us have it this once. Our next email comes to us from Sam from Detroit. And I'm going to try and do this right. Is there any possibility, even a slim possibility, that God Almighty exists in your belief?
That was almost Dalek-esque.
Yeah, I guess it was.
Sorry, Sam for Detroit. I mean, not God Almighty. The possibility that God from any of the three Judeo-Christian Muslim tradition scriptures exists is really, really slim, because, you know what, it just doesn't make any sense. The kinds of things, there, we've got this, you know, you can't have an all-good, all-knowing, all-powerful God and have things still make sense. It just doesn't work.
I would say to Sam that, is there a possibility, even a slim possibility? Yes. Just the same way, is there a possibility, a slim possibility, of Bigfoot or Loch Ness Monster, Ogopogo existing? Yes. But for belief, I need more than a slim possibility. I need convincing, independently verifiable evidence. When you can provide that, then I will believe.
This is something that we said on the show really early on that Casey introduced to this argument, which is the difference between belief and knowledge. I mean, our understanding of the universe does not encompass a God, but it also doesn't disprove a God. From a statement of knowledge, we're agnostics. But from a statement of belief, how we think things are going to turn out, how we think they're trending, we don't believe a God exists, and we don't think there ever will be anything like it.
Yeah, I think that's a big misnomer that a lot of, even agnostics, self-described agnostics, tend to throw at us.
Right.
Which is that you have to be 100% certain to be an atheist. I'm not. I don't think any of you guys are. but you don't need to be. Do you really need to be 100%? I think most of the way there, or there's no positive evidence for it, is good enough for me, because that gives me enough information to deny the existence of leprechauns and a lot of other things.
The other thing is that when we ask for evidence, and we did a show about this as well, probably about our 50 show mark, you know, the Bible, reading the Bible is not evidence of God. It's not as if, oh, just read the Bible for yourself and you'll see the truth in it. No, actually reading the Bible for myself and comparing it with other holy scriptures shows me, wow, there's way too many contradictions for this particular version of God to be actual.
Hey, now, you did believe in half of it for a while.
I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did. And then, again, you keep reading and you understand, and you say, wow, there's too many tricks you have to pull in order to have it make sense. There's too many things you have to cherry pick. There's too many reinterpretations that you have to make for yourself. And so, no, the God as portrayed in either the Hebrew scriptures, the Bible, or the Quran, just, no, I can't believe in that God.
Right. The Bible, the Quran, all of these religious texts, they prove the existence of religious believers, not the existence of gods, is what it comes down to.
Yeah, and I think that religious believers, you should probably be a little bit careful about that idea that if you just give somebody the Bible, they'll become a believer.
Right.
I've seen way, way too many instances of the exact opposite happening.
Sure, sure. So, thank you, Dalek Sam from Detroit. Our next email comes to us from Matt from Issaquah, and he writes, I've been an atheist for 2 years and came out to my family right before moving to the Seattle area from the Midwest. I moved here in October partly to get away from the BS, partly for the atheist community here. I currently work night shift, so I'm not able to attend any atheist meetups. Your show reminds me that I'm not alone. Somehow knowing that you guys are here in Tacoma is comforting, like you're my friends that live just around the corner and I could stop by anytime.
Well, Matt, you can stop by anytime. I mean, anytime you have a night off or anything like that, you know, please do stop by.
And we do have post-show meetups after every episode of the show. And I'd say this is something that is actually very heartening to me, which is that I'm glad that you live within driving distance of different organizations, but there are a lot of people who don't, a lot of people who live in the middle of the Bible Belt who are understandably afraid to be open about their atheism, and sometimes this sort of show, I would hope, is kind of that light in the darkness. It makes it a little bit easier to know that, you know what, even though it feels that way sometimes, I'm not alone, I'm not crazy, and, you know, sometimes just these organizations exist so that you just realize that there's a place where I can hear something that I'm thinking all the time and not feel crazy.
Right, right. Yeah, I understand what it's like to work night shift. I still work night shift myself. So if you ever have some time, just come on down, and we'd love to see you. And that's really part of what Ask an Atheist has become for me as well. Is, yeah, we are a show. We're a local show. We try to act locally. We do events in the community. We hang out in the community. We socialize. But we also have this thing on the internet that a lot of people seem to like. So it's a hard line to walk, but I'm enjoying walking it.
Yeah, the internet is an interesting thing. I like the way that it gives us the ability to meet people when we feel alone that are out there that believe what we do. Of course, the downside of it, though, is that it helps other crazy people find each other and form websites about how Bigfoot faked the moon landing with the help of the Trilateral Commission.
Why is that bad? That's the source of most of my entertainment these days.
It is fun. I mean, before that, they only had Coast to Coast AM with George and Ori.
Right.
But that is a great show, by the way. I love Ask an Atheist, but I have to kind of admit, I think I like Coast to Coast a little more.
Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, if you're in the United States or anywhere else for that matter. It's still 253-584-1480 if you're in space.
Well, if you're in space, you can probably use your magic space phone.
Yeah, man, that's true, that's true. So, we have another email. This comes to us from Michael from Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Since when did atheists receive the right to dictate how we can or cannot honor our veterans? Because, like, come on, this is a free country. We should have the right to have a monument for our veterans with a cross on.
Well, I would say, I will turn it around on you then. I'd say, why does a Christian have the right to dictate these things to atheists? People of all religions and no religions have died in all of these wars that are being commemorated by these sorts of monuments.
Right.
And that includes us. And are you going to try to pretend that a cross is going to represent all of us? Why do some Christians desperately feel the need to put their stamp of ownership on every aspect of our life rather than a stamp of neutrality, which is what the Constitution requires?
Well, and my answer really is we don't have the right, neither do you, to say how we honor our veterans on public land. But individually and independently, we can honor our veterans, our deceased and living veterans that have served, any damn way we please.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually,
get your own land, put a monument on it, put a cross on it. We can't stop you.
And individual soldiers, actually, in this United States, do have the right to commemorate themselves under their religion, that there are several headstones that actually the government will give you a cross, they will give you a Star of David, they will even give you an atheist logo. Beth Lehman, who used to be a host on our show, her father is buried in a veteran cemetery with the atheist logo on his headstone.
Yeah.
So that's the way, if you want to bring up the cross stuff, there are plenty of opportunities for former Christian soldiers to have those on their headstones, but not pretend that it represents everybody.
Exactly. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're going to go into break. When we come back, we're going to answer some more of your emails and maybe take a call if the weather gets bad.
I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it'll explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
Atheism TV. News, events, community, entertainment, debates, conferences, and more. A massive repository of over 3,000 recent and fascinating atheist videos from all over the internet. Or watch The Infidel, our own regular news show. Visit the shopping area and buy something for that special atheist in your life. Rent captivating shows, movies, and documentaries directly in your browser. Atheism TV, the world's number one source of atheist videos.
Prevent damage to your home and furnishings, save money, and avoid potential health problems by controlling moisture and eliminating mold growth. Madrona Home Services helps homeowners in the Seattle and Tacoma areas protect their investments. Madrona Home Services will clean building exteriors, walkways, and gutters to remove damaging moss, algae, lichens, and fungus through low-pressure power washing. We'll restore the natural oils in your cedar shake roof and cure your slippery deck. Contact us at MadronaHomeServices.com. That's MadronaHomeServices.com. Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at SeattleAtheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and we have another email.
We have an email from Heather from Boulder, Colorado. She writes, I really appreciate what you are doing and have enjoyed listening. I know you always say that you are not parenting experts, but your advice and thoughts really help me navigate some of the issues I'm facing. My husband and I have a 15-month-old daughter, and we are atheists. I was raised with a Christian upbringing, going to church every Sunday with parents who are still very Christian. I stopped believing in God and started thinking critically about religion at the age of 12, much to my parents' dismay. It's been a source of stress and fights with them throughout the years. We want to raise our daughter as a free thinker and want our families to respect that. Thanks again for all you do. Well, first of all, Heather, happy Mother's Day from us at Ask an Atheist.
Yeah, it is a holiday, isn't it?
It is, to some of us. And congrats to all those who have parented children and who are going through that kind of, you know, the kind of struggles that Heather might be facing raising children without religion.
Well, not everybody who has children. Not the Duggars. I think they're kind of creepy and cult-like, but...
Well, they certainly are not raising their children without religion.
Oh, no. Or with different letters at the beginning of their names. I've always thought that was a little bit creepy.
Yeah, well, it's all J's, right?
Isn't it? All J's. Yeah. But, I mean, to their benefit, there are a lot of J names.
Yeah, there are. A lot of biblical J names, especially. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, parenting, we talk about it a lot, and we do have parents in the cast and crew of Ask an Atheist, but it's always been one I've kind of been hands-off about because I'm not a parent, and I'm not going to pretend I know anything about it. I mean, I've got some ideas about it because I know we talk about having kids at some point, right?
We do. The other thing is that all of us have been children and have been parented, and we all have bring our own experiences of being a child and what that's like, and that can be sort of reflective in how we can determine what kind of families we want to raise.
Yeah. So, I'm glad you like the content, and we do have some stuff about parenting coming up. Thank you very much. So we got another email, actually two emails, and this is Dean from, I'm too Midwestern for this. How is this?
Le Internet.
Right, the Internet. And Jeff from the Internet. And Dean writes, I was already an atheist, but your show brought me a whole new appreciation for Aquaman. Thank you for that. And the other one is, your show has affected my life by teaching me the awesomeness of Aquaman.
I just want to say thanks to both of you. I'm glad that people are coming around to the awesomeness of the King of the Seven Seas. And if there's any doubters out there, I just have this one thing to say to them. Of all of the superheroes in creation, Aquaman is the one most likely to fight pirates.
I like pirates.
I also want to note that sitting here in the studio, Mike is wearing his Aquaman t-shirt.
Yeah.
I played a type.
He said Aquaman doubters out there. He forgot about the Aquaman doubter in here.
You will come around. I just leave Aquaman tracts on your doorstep.
So, all right. It's my day for pronunciation. What town is that?
This is La Crucena, California. We
all
have
right.
a caller.
We have Matt, and he wants to talk about selling religion based upon what is cool rather than reason. How you doing today, Matt?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. So what do you have for us?
Well, I was kind of curious as to what you guys thought of this kind of co-opting of spirituality with a lot of this, the really kind of self-help element to a lot of the Eastern religions making headway in the United States. And it's kind of invading upon the Christian territory because it's frankly a lot more appealing.
Are you talking about the... Oh, I'm sorry. Were you talking about sort of the Deepak Chopra kind of... vague New Agey stuff?
Well, yes. In many respects, and you don't necessarily have to be any sort of theologian-like minded person to ascribe to these things, because a lot of people use them simply as a vehicle. And I can understand that, but when people dive into an ideology based on how pretty it is and not necessarily how correct it is, it gets me concerned, because I know that our culture here is just saturated with the kind of populist mentality of, well, if it's sexy, then let's give it a shot.
I'll get into
it. It has nothing to do with, it's all the reptilian brain work.
I'll get into this a bit later, but sometimes I think the atheism visibility movement doesn't market enough.
I'll agree there. I also noticed that it's not just the New Age types, but Christians have been doing this too. If you notice that a lot of the mega churches have their big Christian rock bands playing, and it feels more like you're going to a concert. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's anything new that they're trying to win people over by it being cool or being beautiful or being
marketing.
Marketing. That's really nothing new, because when you get down to it, most of these religions, whether they're the standard Abrahamic ones or the New Age ones, they're all faith-based enterprises where when you get down to what faith really is, it's believing something not because you have those good reasons, but because you really want it to be true.
It's very hard to market on reason when reason is not one of your selling points. It's like marketing on the gas economy of a Hummer. It's just, that's not what the device is for.
It's not sold because of facts. It's sold because of the coolness factor that they see.
And, so what they got to fall back on is cool. I mean, you know, the Beatles did a lot to get Eastern religion attention in the United States during that part of the 20th century.
The Kabbalah stuff got bigger when Madonna got into it.
Absolutely. I mean, you'd speak a bit on that.
I don't really have much to speak about. I was into, you know, Jewish mysticism at the time, and really lamented Kabbalah and Britney, or Madonna and Britney Spears getting involved and wearing their little red string bracelets and things like that. I always thought that it was just kind of a cheapening of the experience, but really there's nothing, you know, any cheaper or you know, I think that, you know, it's people cleave to something that's like you said, pretty and satisfying and comforting. And I think that, you know, someone that's been raised in real Christian substrate may find something more appealing and more comforting because it's less cult-like. It feels less, it gives them more freedom.
The interesting thing with the Kabbalah thing is my mom actually got pulled into that a bit a few years ago, and they would call all the time, and that's actually, my mom pulled herself out of it because of the constant money grabbing that you would get over the phone and trying to sell you a red piece of string for $20. And my mom was like, well, why are you charging $20 for a piece of red string? Oh, well, it was dipped in the River Jordan, which, by the way, apparently is, I guess, has peace-giving powers. I mean, because clearly it's one of the most peaceful regions in the world. But it's kind of funny. My mom's just simply asked the question, why don't you just give them out for free?
So, okay. To bring it, are you still with us there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm just listening contently.
Oh, no problem. So to bring it back, what I said at the beginning of the call is, I think because we have reason, we use reason for everything in atheism. You know, atheism, or reason, is like our big selling point, is that we try to be reasonable, we try to be skeptical, especially in the atheism visibility movement.
Yeah.
But
frankly, I don't even like that we have to ascribe a label to it, because then it seems like you're picking sides, and really it's the most nondescript label you could ever put up there. It just means, I don't believe there's an invisible man in the sky. That's it.
Absolutely.
That's literally it. There's nothing else to it.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, like, maybe sometimes the atheism visibility movement could take a page from these guys and go for some type of cool that isn't just iconoclasm. And as soon as I find what that cool is, I'll let you know.
I think we actually got.
Go ahead. In the process of making science more popular in the mainstream. I'm not sure if you're aware, but Neil deGrasse Tyson is hosting the new Cosmos series, and it's going to be prime time, wedged up there on a Fox network. So one way or another, people are going to be exposed to this kind of stuff. They're going to find out that, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be beautiful to be true, but a lot of it is really, really profound and mind-blowing.
Well put.
The truths that we discover with scientific vigor don't necessarily need to be fluffed up by human invention.
Actually, the truth is, I think we have gotten a bit better. If you look at the Reason Rally, it wasn't just iconoclastic academics getting up there, but we had music, we had comedians, we had all sorts of stuff. I think we got to do more of it.
Yeah.
It can't just be lectures all the time.
If anyone has an ability to make science and reason cool, it's Neil deGrasse Tyson with what he says about the universe, and Tim Minchin with what he says through music.
Yeah, really sorry to cut you off, Matt, but we're running out of show, and we have another call. And this is Christy from Kent, and comment on how the show has affected her. How are you doing today, Christy? Christy, hello.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well, enjoying the weather, and actually getting some air in my house for the first time in a long time.
So what do you have for us today?
Well, since it's your 100th episode, I kind of wanted to give you guys all a congrats for making it this far.
Thank you.
And a thank you for being on the air in the area, because it's I have to admit, the show has become very important to me in the last few months especially. And I kind of wanted to say thank you all to you guys for that.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for listening and hanging out, and we'll be talking to you soon, but we're going to have to move on.
All right, and where's the meetup tonight?
Oh, the meetup's going to be at the office.
Awesome, I'll see you guys there.
All right, see you there.
Bye.
So, we have another email, and this is, go ahead.
This is Mike the Kiwi, and he says, I really enjoyed your parenting episode. I have two daughters, aged 12 and 9, and our goal is to raise two independent women who are capable of thinking critically and able to make their own decisions with the confidence to know that their parents will always back them up. Your show really reinforced the types of strategies we're trying to put in place. And this is, I think, my favorite thing that Mike has said. He says, FYI, my preferred method of getting my Ask an Atheist fix, well, every second Wednesday I give plasma. And while I'm laying there, headphones in with the needle in my arm for an hour, eating my crackers and drinking my cup of tea, I think, what a horrible baby-eating immoral heathen I am. And when the nurses ask me what's so funny, I just smile.
I'm actually heartened by that. If you're going to watch our show with a needle in your arm, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. So, this is a great email for a number of reasons. One, it's something nice that atheists do that we get a lot of heat for. People don't think that we do stuff like this. The other thing is, he's a Kiwi. He's not. I was never expecting this.
Yeah,
to have
small flightless birds don't often send us emails.
Yeah, I never thought it would be, you know, in that community. But okay, honestly, the international thing, I'm always shocked by. Like, why do you care what I say?
I think it's because there's a lack of it. Yeah. I think that there's a vacuum that we help fill. And we got a phone call a couple of years, actually at the beginning of our show while we were still on Skin, from Tehran.
Yeah, yeah.
That somebody even has ability through their internet and all those sorts of filters to still listen to our show in Iran. So, unless they're a hacker, good job, by the way.
So, we've got one more email. And this is not about the 100th episode or asking us about something weird and religious. And this comes to us from Lee from Florida. And she says, she directs this at me because she likes my laugh and thought she developed a rapport with me. Wow, I completely forgot that part of it.
This isn't going to turn into one of those Jodie Foster things.
No, don't.
Hey, Lee, watch yourself.
So, when you go to commercial during Ask an Atheist, your plug states that you promote progressive values. I identify as conservative, but also align with what I label progressive on several, mostly socialist issues, such as stem cell research or gay rights. How does this apply to me? Am I on the outs with you guys? I make no assumptions, but until I am told otherwise, I worry that my distant perceived friends may not dig me as much as I dig them. Also, your thoughts on the usage of words like progressive or conservative would be appreciated. I see some things that are labeled progressive to be very conservative, as well as the inverse. Living green seems to be a very conservative thing to do, for instance. First and foremost, when you hear the thing about the progressive values, that's actually a commercial for Humanists of Washington. Now, I have to admit, full disclosure, I sit on the board of directors for Humanists of Washington. However, that is a distinct entity from Ask an Atheist, and we're not... We, Mike and I, because you don't have to dig very hard, far, to see Mike's political beliefs on the internet. Mine, you have to dig a little bit further, but it doesn't take very long. So we had a very specific political decision when we decided to do Ask an Atheist.
Yeah, it's very easy once you start pouring a little dose of politics into something to get completely distracted from it. Our show exists to fill the vacuum of the lack of atheists being represented. Sam and mine's political views, we've got plenty of proxies on the air.
Oh, yeah.
That talk about the sort of things that we think. And there's plenty of shows talking about all those other topics. If you go to one of our post shows, you'll hear us talking about this stuff. The reason we don't put it on the air is it just takes up too much time and it would completely derail several of the topics we do talk about.
We also understand that there are atheists of all stripes. Like our caller said earlier, atheist is sort of a nondescript word that tells you only one thing. There's nothing inherent in the word atheist that says what political party or doctrine or platform you might be aligned with. And we recognize that. And Lee, if you consider yourself conservative on a number of different topics that differ from us, that doesn't denigrate your atheism or your lack of belief any more than it puts ours into question.
There is a big progressive slant or liberal slant in atheism. There's also a big libertarian slant, which is generally perceived as conservative. We live in a time right now where terminology is very indistinct and very nebulous.
It's very fluid at this point.
Yeah,
I think it's a sign of our success too that you have conservative atheists. It means that in those circles, it's less of a stigma.
Yeah.
I guess if we're going to talk about these definitions of progressive and conservative, I think it varies very differently depending on whether you're talking about economic issues like healthcare and things like that,
yeah,
or if you're talking about social issues. I think with progressive, they usually mean not things that are based on tradition, oftentimes religion. And I think in the case of Lee, she's not... she's economically conservative.
Right. But so what we've decided is that politics is only going to be discussed on Ask an Atheist when it intersects with the atheism movement. And unfortunately, there's something going on in the news today where it really directly intersects with politics. And unfortunately, in a way that Lee might not enjoy. So there's the Secular Coalition for America right now has brought a new executive director on, yeah?
Yeah, Edwina Rogers, who was a lobbyist for a lot of Republicans and has given money in the past, $1,000, to Rick Perry's campaign for the presidency, which you might have noticed doesn't intersect well with us on a lot of the things we talk about with the separation of church and state, good science, gay rights, a lot of those sorts of things.
Right.
And this has been a real point of controversy, and she's been giving answers to these questions, which, in my opinion at least, have not been satisfactory, and a lot of people have gotten very angry about.
Yeah, you're very concerned about her donation to Rick Perry. I'm a little less concerned about her donation to Rick Perry and way more concerned about her misapprehension of the atheism visibility movement, the group that she's purporting to support. We have some questions. So over the next week, we're going to be doing an in-depth analysis of what's going on with the Secular Coalition for America and Edwina Rogers in particular. So expect to hear from us a lot in the next week as we try to get some people on the air to talk to. And
yeah, I think in this case, like with the case of Lee, who just emailed us from Florida, we're not saying that just because she is a conservative that immediately invalidates her for this job. It's things based on her past affiliations and things that she said in explanation of those,
yeah,
which have put a lot of doubt on her ability to effectively lobby on us.
It's important to say that her GOP membership is not the problem here. We don't care.
It's not a deal breaker, but several of the things she has puts a lot of doubt on that, and we want to really hear a good explanation for the things that she said.
Right. Greta Christina recently did an interview with her, which we'll probably include bits of as time goes on, and she says things about the GOP that it's like it's not written down anywhere, that they don't support, or they're not for marriage, they're not against marriage equality or anything like that, but then it's actually on the 2008 GOP party platform, the current active platform.
Not just at the national level, but on almost every state platform where these positions, which she claims they don't have, get a lot more strident, get a lot less well-disguised.
Yeah.
And I think that if you don't understand the battleground of the place where you're going to be lobbying for our interest as atheists, and you don't understand that that you're just not going to be able to be a good lobbyist for us.
Absolutely. And that is all the time we have for today. My name is Sam Olvey. With me today was Mike Gillis and Rebecca Friedman. Music as usual is by Chris Coleman. Our ASL interpreter is Bridget Lombardo. Our post show is at the office at 5 o'clock. Ask an Atheist is an NEGM Media production. You can give us a call at 206-420-0997 or go to askanatheist.tv. Thank you, Jeremy and Casey. Wish you guys were here. See you next week.